All right. If you don't have a Bible, you're going to need a Bible. So we, Christian, can grab you one if you need one. We are going to cover two chapters. So last week, Christian did an amazing job of teaching. Absolutely amazing. Genesis chapter 9, we learned many things. We learned more about who God is and who we are as His children. I was quoting Christian even to himself, and I didn't even realize I was quoting him this week. I liked his message so much. So a quick review before we get going. The flood has receded now, and Noah and his family have left the boat. And now we see they were worshiping God. They'd built an altar. Noah was worshiping God for his faithfulness. Then we know that God gave a covenant to Noah, to his family, and to every one of us, which starts our Bible study in Genesis chapter 8. Look at 8:21. Genesis 8:21. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they may think or imagine is bent towards evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. Then we can look at verses 9, 11, chapter 9, verse 11. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. So in chapter 9, we read that God had blessed them. Then he had instructed them to repopulate the earth. And he gave them all the animals, the grain and the vegetables as food. I liked that part. All the animals. The only condition, I'm going to go over this again because there was some questions afterwards. And there should have been some questions. He gave them all the animals. There was one condition that God gave, was not to eat the blood, as this is still a command today. So I'm going to turn to that just because there was questions last week. And we were talking about it even because it's one of the... So you turn over to Acts real quick, 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 19 through 21. Acts 15, verse 19. And so my judgment is, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. That's all of us, by the way. Instead, we should write and tell them to abstain from eating food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, and from eating the meat of strangled animals, and from consuming blood. For these laws of Moses have been preached in Jewish synagogues in every city on every Sabbath for many generations. Now, it's interesting how the blood is prohibited for us to eat. I looked it up. I looked at gotquestions.org. It's a pretty good site. They said blood was the only atonement for sin. Give some scripture references. Therefore, blood is seen as a sacred thing. Because we don't know specifically, but we do know that God is very adamant before the law and all the way into the New Testament, we are not to partake and eat of blood. So God then, if you're back in Genesis, then gave the sign of his covenant, the rainbow, beautiful, so that Noah and all the generations to come would have a reminder of this promise that God had made. Chapter 9, we also learned something also very interesting, didn't we? Noah had sinned. The one who had God had called, the faithful one God had called to build the ark, got drunk, passed out in his tent, and was caught naked. Now, I liked what Christian said about this, and I'm going to look at that again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. So Christian really did a good job, I think, in giving the point. I really liked it that Noah, David, yes, all our favorites, even Lot, right? That one makes your head twist. Even Lot, and many of all the patriarchs mentioned by God, they're mentioned as righteous before God. They were known by God by their faith in him, not by the sins that they had done. You know, I really like that, how he said, you know, oh, even all these patriarchs did these things. That's not what God knows them by. That he knows them by their faith, not their sin. And I found that so interesting because Sunday I taught in Luke chapter 15 and about the Father's love for the Son who had returned and repented of his sins. The Father celebrated because he was a new creation who was dead but was now alive. He didn't even look at the old man. He only saw the new man. And again, it was just an amazing testimony that we see. God sees us by our faith, not by our sin. So do we see people that way? It must be something I need to learn, because it's been like the backdrop of every application on every message, like four messages in a row, Wednesday and Sunday. We must see God's people as he sees them and as he sees us, forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Obviously, I need to hear it. So today, we're going to read about a transition from Noah to his three sons to their 70 sons. It's really a season or a time of rebuilding, a time of repopulation of the earth. So God's judgment, we know, we've read about it the last few weeks, had came forth, but it was time for God's people, for humanity, to move forward in obedience to God's word and to fill the earth and repopulate. That starts us at Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. Now, those of you that know me know that I don't consider myself extremely gifted as a linguist. You can laugh, and it's amazing because it's just God's grace, and I actually really like it because God is so graceful and merciful, and he uses us. I got probably the worst chapter in the Bible for names. There is over 70 names in this chapter I have to read. So I'm going to do my best, and I tell you, I honestly did study them, and I tried, and I wrote little notes, and it's going to be a mess. But I'm going to do my best, and you just read along in the Bible, okay, with me. So, Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. This is the account of the families of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. Many children are born to them after the great flood. So what we have already in verse 1 is an account or an explanation of how the earth would be repopulated, explaining how every single civilization, every single nation, every single language has came to pass now today. You know, God is so graceful, isn't he? He's so merciful, he's so graceful, because he has given us the detailed proof of exactly how he did this. This chapter is also known by some as the Table of Nations. I didn't know that before studying. I just find it, God is graceful, because, you know, we believe by faith, but he shows us how it was done, practically speaking. So in this chapter is basically a family tree of sins. Every one of us, every person here, comes from Noah. We know that? Every one of us. One of his sons, to be more specific from there. You know what's even crazier? I think each one of us here can tell when I'm done which son we possibly came from. Is that kind of crazy just to think about? I find it crazy. Now this brings up a question, since we're talking about man, creation of man, and who we are and where we come from. It brings up the question of race. If we are all from Noah and his three sons, how many different races are there? I see some correct answers and I hear some wrong answers. I'm going to talk about this at the end of the message. I got another question. How or why then do we each look a little bit different? Some of us have a little different tone to our skin, from very light to very dark. Some of us have different facial features from our ethnicities. Why? Again, I'm going to get into this in the closing of the message, but I want you to think about these two questions as we go through these next two chapters. So today we're going to cover chapter 10 and 11. So it might be a little longer message today. I could not figure out a way to break this up. But I want to make sure that we understand that chapter 10 is the account of Noah's family line. Then chapter 11 and Babel happens kind of in the middle of that. So get your chronologic kind of understanding. We're going to go through a whole series of the family tree, right? But in the middle of it is the Tower of Babel. So we're going to learn on that, but we're going to go through the whole chronological family first. Then we're going to come back to that because it's kind of could be a little confusing. So for about 100 years after the flood, Noah and his family, all that were there, lived in the same area. That was near the top, where the Tower of Babel would be. So what's going to happen is we're going to look at chapter 11, 10 through 32, which is the line of Abram. But remember, as we look through all of this, all these chapters, all of this is intertwined. So it will make sense, but I just want you to remember, you can't just go into timeline because Tower of Babel is right smack in the middle of this. All right, so we're going to see the peoples, languages, the nations. We're going to see how all this was birthed as through the descendants of Noah. And I do want you to know, I want to make sure and be clear, as I get into these next verses, starting in verse 2, I stole all of this. This is not my work. This is from Guzik's commentary, and I don't think even Guzik is smart enough to do what I'm going to go through, because this is chase down this genealogical thing for this many years. Somebody spent years of their life to figure this out. And so this is not my work. I copied it. I studied it a lot. I understand it, but it is not my work. I just want to be clear. I copied right out of the commentary on this next few verses because there is no way that I could have possibly come up with this on my own. Verse 2, let's start. Here we go. The descendants of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Magi, Javan, Tubal, Mesheph, and Tiras. Let's stop right there, verse 2. So we're going to start with Gomer. That's an easy one to say, at least. So this son of Japheth, this is where all the Germanic people came from. Now we're going to go through this. It's going to take like 10, 15 minutes, okay? We're going to go through this. But this is important. So this is the original, from this one person, Gomer, is where all the Western Europe came out of. We're talking French, Spanish, Celtic, all the people groups there came from Gomer. And then it continues, Magog, Tubal, Mesheph. These are what would be the Russian people. And again, I've copied this, I've researched it. So all the Russian people then came out of these people. Magi, this is another son here, the Medes. This is known as Iraq and Iran. Also, some people from India came from this particular person. So what you're seeing is all these different people groups all come from these sons. Javan, these are the seaward-faring people that we'll see and read about in verse 5. So let's look at verse 3. The descendants of Gomer were Askeliv, Riphath, and Togamoth. So this one here, as we see from these are the people of Judea that actually were part of the people that settled all in that entire area. So we're going to go verses 4 and 5. The descendants of Javan and Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Rodanim. Their descendants became the seafaring peoples that spread out to various lands, each identified by its own language, clan, and national identity. So these sons here, it's interesting how you can look at the names, and the linguist will actually say, as you look at these names here in verse 4, and you can see them today in different places, such as Cyprus, Rhodes, Germany, Moscow, and other places. So we see this third generation in, just from Noah, already these sons, there's countries and people groups with their names. It's pretty amazing. So let's look at verses 6 through 20. We'll start in verse 6. The descendants of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Again, Ham, who are they? Who is the people group that came out of him? Africa and the Far East. Is there any people from Far East? I don't think so here. Cush, these are the Babylonians. This is where Nimrod actually came out of. So we're all familiar with that. And also Ethiopia. Mizraim, this is Egypt. Put, Libya, also North Africa and west of Egypt. Canaan, we know that one, the land today known as Israel and its surrounding regions. So let's look at 7 through 12 now. The descendants of Cush were Saba, Havilah, Sabteth, Ramath, and Sabtika. The descendants of Ramah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush was also the ancestor of Nimrod, who was the first heroic warrior on earth. Since he was the greatest hunter in the world, his name became providential. People would say this man is like Nimrod, the greatest hunter in the world. He built his kingdom in the land of Babylonia, within the cities of Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Kaneh. From there, he expanded his territory into Syria, building the cities of Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calah, and Rezin, the great city located between Nineveh and Calah. Let's stop there. Nimrod. I think we've all heard that name. You know, I had a dog named Nimrod. I did. Golden Retriever. Vicky named him. But I think she messed up. Yeah, because we all say great warrior, right? How many people think Nimrod was a great warrior? It says that, but for what? He was a great warrior, but it wasn't for God. I learned something. So again, this person mentioned here is Nimrod, son of Cush. These verses don't mean what I always thought, though. Nimrod was a great leader, extremely well known, and he was one who actually united a lot of people. The people that built the Tower of Babel, which was intended to make man glorified. This directly went against what God had commanded them to do. They were supposed to go out to populate and fill the earth. Yet it was actually Nimrod, they believe, who led the building of this tower. So when it says he was a great warrior, this was true. But it wasn't for God. It was actually coming to rally up the people and to go against God's will. So it's very interesting. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. Mizraim was the ancestor of the Luddites, the Ammonites, Lahabites, Naphtuhites, Pathrusites, Cashuhites, and the Kaphtorites, from whom the Philistines came. You know, that verse just tells you what you need, right? There we know where the Philistines came from. So let's continue. Look at 15 through 20. Canaan's only son was Sidon, the ancestor of the Sidonians. Canaan was also the ancestor of the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkitites, Shinites, Arvadites, Zimrites, and the Hamathites. The Canaanite clans eventually spread out, and the territory of Canaan extended from Sidon to the north, Gir and Gaza in the south, and far as Sodom, Gomorrah, Adamah, and Zeboim near Lasha. These were the descendants of Ham, identified by clan, language, territory, and national identity. So again, as we read through all these names that I can't say correctly, we learn and see even more of these, where these people come from. Some of these people are the Lebanese people that we see even still today. We see the Sinite, that was the people they believed that where the Orient came from, the Oriental people came from. So it continues here. Now we're going to continue. We got one more brother to get through. Verse 22, 1 through 22. Sons were also born to Shem, the older brother of Japheth. Shem was the ancestor of all the descendants of Eber. The descendants of Shem were Lem, Asher, Aphrod, Lund, and Aram. So Shem had Elam. This is the Persian people. Asher was the Assyrians. Kind of sounds familiar. Lund was Lycians, Asia Minor. Abram was the Armenians and the Syrians. Axaphad was also the ancestor of Abram and of then the Hebrew people. So now we're starting to get somewhere. Let's look at verse 23. The descendants of Abram were Uz, Hur, Gether, and Mash. Uz, we've heard of that. This is Arabia, also named after the son of Abram. Job came from this place. So it starts, there's a lot that ties together. You read it and you're like, oh, this is genealogy, but you start pulling out pieces of it. It all ties into the Bible and even civilization today as we know it. It's pretty amazing. Look at verse 24 through 31. Axphed was the father of Shelah, and Shelah was the father of Eber. Eber had two sons. The first was Peleg, which means division, for during his lifetime the people of the world were divided into different language groups. His brother was Joktan. Joktan was the ancestor of Alamodad, Shelith, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadarman, Uzal, Dikla, Opal, Abamai, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were descendants of Joktan. The territory they occupied extended from Mesha all the way to Sephar in the eastern mountains. Verse 31. They were the descendants of Shem, identified by clan, language, territory, and national identity. So all these people we see through 24 through 31 are all these Arabic peoples that still exist today. You can go, these tribes are still there today. There. Now this one, Jobab, you know who that is? You know who they think it might be? They think it's Job. We don't know for sure, but they think that actually might be Job. Which is interesting when you think about Job being one of the oldest written things. And they, a lot of commentaries, they might agree, disagree. We can't prove it. But many people commonly believe they're actually talking about Job in this one, which I find is really interesting. Verse 32. These are the clans that descended from Noah's sons, arranged by nation according to their lines of descent. All the nations of the earth descended from these clans after the great flood. Woo! That was a lot to look at. I murdered all them names. I'm sorry. I tried. But we're reading, think about this. We're reading how the earth today, as we know it, was populated. And how every nation, even today, from their formation of 4,000 years ago. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And then a lot of the names still line up today. So we're going to continue now. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. The Tower of Babel. Remembering, this event took place during that genealogical time. It was 100 years after the flood. So I'm going to read 1 through 9. At one time, all the people in the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. Remember, who was from Babylonia? Nimrod. This is why they believe it was the same guy. And he settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." That was directly against what God had commanded. Directly. But the Lord came down to look at the old city. Who was that? Do you think that's Christophany? I think so. I don't know. I think it was Jesus. And he says, he looked at the city and the tower and the people were building. He said, "Look," he said, Trinity, "these people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Only three generations have taken place. And already there is an organized rebellion against the word of God that has taken place. This wasn't one man's sin. This was an organized entire community group of people that have now came against the word of God and against his commandments. Only three generations in. Now God had given these people instructions to go out into the world, but they wanted to be seen as gods themselves. That's what I see here. Reach the heavens, make themselves famous. So they came together, believing they could thwart God's plan or God's will. But God didn't destroy them, did he? We know he wasn't going to do that. But he did bring such confusion that forced them to go out and scatter into the world. I don't know, you hear this story all the time in children's ministry, don't you? I always thought it was like just random. You know, one guy to the next guy was talking some different language. I don't think it was random at all. You know, God we serve, it doesn't. He's very orderly. He may have caused confusion amongst the people, but I think that it wasn't random at all, the languages. And when you read this and you read the different families and the clans and the brothers and how they all went out, I don't think it was random at all. I think, this is my opinion, each individual family group suddenly spoke a different language. Because you see them all spread out in different areas. I don't know. I don't think it was like husband and wife just start speaking a different language. I think it was each different little group, each different clan. It doesn't say that, but it just sure makes sense the way you see the genealogy and how they all went out in different family and different clan groups and started different nations and civilizations under one language, each one with their own language, it said. If you look back, it says their own, identified by clan, language, territory, and national identity. I don't think it was random people living together. I think God separated them all to go out. I got a map. Can we show that map? I think it's a pretty cool map. It shows a journal idea. There's debate on this, like everything when you look at stuff like this. But you see, you should recognize the name. There's Ham, Sham, Joseph, Japheth. Now I can't say it. Anyways, up top. But this gives you an idea. Then if you look, you'll see their sons and the other names in there. What's interesting is you look at it, you may even recognize all the names from chapter 10, but you also may even look at it and see some of the names you'll know today, which is pretty amazing that you think about that. So we can just leave that map up. So now, 4,000 years later, we're sitting here today. 4,000 years. And you can still go back to this map and see these places, Germany. This all goes back to this, when God, Tower of Babel. It's amazing. So in these passages, we learn true world history and the beginnings of how different clans, languages, territories, and different identities of people came to exist. It all started here in God's Word in Genesis chapter 10 and 11. So even with the rebellion of man that we see here, God is going to continue. He has a plan. So let's look at verses 10 through 25, the family line, Shem to Abram. This is the account of Shem's family. 2 years after the great flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arphad. After the birth of Arphad, Shem lived another 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arphad was 35 years old, he became the father of Shelah. After the birth of Shelah, Arphaxad lived another 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Shelah was 30 years old, he became the father of Eber. After the birth of Eber, Shelah lived another 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber was 34 years old, he became the father of Peleg. After the birth of Peleg, Eber lived another 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg was 30 years old, he became the father of Reu. After the birth of Reu, Peleg lived another 209 years and had other sons and daughters. When Reu was 32 years old, he became the father of Serug. After the birth of Serug, Reu lived another 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Serug was 30 years old, he became the father of Nahor. After the birth of Nahor, Serug lived another 200 years and other sons and daughters. When Nahor was 29 years old, he became the father of Terah. After the birth of Terah, Nahor lived another 119 years old and had other sons and daughters. After Terah was 70 years old, he became the father, here we go, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, it's getting a little more interesting, I would say. Did you know we get Abram here, right? Later to be Abraham. It's interesting, he is mentioned 312 times in the Bible. 272 different verses have led up to him now. He's arguably the most famous man written about in the Old Testament, and one of probably the most influential man in our history today, 4,000 years later. And you think, even today, all the it's always about, and we just got to him in the chronological family line. So it's absolutely amazing. Now I skipped a page here. Yeah, 27 through 32. Let's finish that. Here we go. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the family of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran was the father of Lot, and Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father, Terah, was still living. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor were both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Iscah were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. One day, Terah took his son Abram and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, and his son Haran's child, and moved away from the Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan. But they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. So we're stopped today there, obviously, at the end of chapter 11, 1 through 10 and 11. And through that, we have seen the documentation of every nation, every tongue, every civilization to exist today. That's pretty amazing. And what we see here is the outline for God's plan for Jesus Christ and Messiah. That's what's so amazing when you look at that. You know, you could spend months and months, you could spend a year on these two chapters going through this. You could write books. I skipped over huge sections and points you could probably make as you went through these chapters, but I really want to be able to move through Genesis in at least through a year. to go through a couple chapters a night, one or two chapters a night. But I used a lot of the resources. I got them from Answers in Genesis. I think a lot of you are probably familiar with that. I highly advise, if you want to find out more about these passages and others, look that up. They have a video series that I'd highly recommend. It talks about Noah and the flood and the ark. It's really amazing. But before we close up here, I had to ask some questions at the beginning, didn't I? And I want you to know I did use Answers in Genesis for these answers, but I asked race, a question about race. If we are all from Noah and his three sons, how many different races are there? There's one. And I'm going to explain that a little more in a second. There's one race. We are humans from God, from Adam to Noah to us today. There's one race. That's it. It's the end of story. Anything else is not biblical, and that's it. We are all the same race, God's children. Second, then comes a fair question. Then why do some of us look different than others? Why are some of us have different tones of skin? Why do we have different facial features, facial shapes? And I copied these answers right out of Answers in Genesis. I could try to explain it myself, but it's probably above my education level. And I'm going to read these because I think it's really helpful for all of us to understand this, who we are in Christ. They say, as people migrated from Babel, different groups became isolated from others and likely married only within their language group. Each group carried a set of physical characteristics as determined by their genes. As they intermarried, certain characteristics would begin to dominate due to the group's small pool of genes. Over time, different people displayed distinct physical characteristics. For example, Asians typically have almond-shaped eyes, dark hair, and middle brown skin, whereas Europeans have round eyes and fair-colored hair and skin. There's one more. The term race is often used to classify people based almost solely on physical characteristics. According to evolutionary ideas, these so-called races descended from different ancestors separated by location and time. However, based on biblical history, the term race must be incorrect. We are all one race, one blood. The human race descended from two ancestors, Adam and Eve. So when we stand boldly and confidently on God's word, we can correctly understand the unity and the diversity among the human race. God's made us all. Now, I also asked about our family tree. We got another slide. What shows? Got one more. Okay, there's one. I said, hey, it's possible that each one of us, as we know we're from Noah, but even the next line, the three brothers, it's likely that we can even tell which one we're from. So if you look at that, you can probably, everyone here is from one of the two, I think. Even most of us might be from just the one. But you can look at that and you can get an idea. It's kind of interesting. You can trace it all the way back to Noah. And then you could even go further. If you really want to go further, you can go into the 70 sons. You could probably even trace it there if you know your heritage enough. But it's very interesting. All the way back 4,000 years ago, we can trace our ancestry by looking at this. And it's pretty amazing. So you see Europe and Asia, Japheth, Ham, Southeast Asia, Canaan, Africa, Shem. So you can tell where your ancestry was from all the way back. I think that's pretty amazing how God has given us that. So I'm from Europe, obviously, so I'm probably from Japheth, as I think most of us all here are, looking around. Yeah. So I thank you for allowing me the privilege just to teach up here. As I said, 70 names. I know I did not do them any justice at all. I apologize. I can learn 5, 10 of them. 70 was not going to happen. I just appreciate the opportunity to share the Word of God, and We're going to break up in a minute in prayer groups, but I'd like just to close the teaching with prayer. And then I especially ask, as we do break up in prayer groups, two or three, you know, maybe three or four per person, but really pray about Easter and the upcoming services here in Chiang Mai and around the world, as this is a time that so many people will come to church that normally would not come to church. And it's a time that so many people really examine and hear the gospel, and maybe they would hear from the Holy Spirit. So I just hope that hearts would be softened and that lives would be changed forever, and they'd come to church every week because they want to come to church. You know, I was looking around as we were worshiping today, and, you know, it's a small service, and it's a Wednesday night midweek service. You know, it's new, too, but I really like it as a pastor, because it's, like, nice because I can just worship. I don't have to worry about stuff because I just come here, even teaching, I come here to worship. I come here to worship Jesus. I come here to sing hymns to him, sing songs to him, and I come here to read his word and study who he is and worship through that. So even if it was me and my wife here, it's worship. And so I like it. It's like the numbers are small, so it's kind of nice. I mean, I don't want more people too. I don't want to say that, but I really enjoy that because it can be really personal too. And we don't have to worry about everything going on and what persons people are doing. We can just sit here and worship. So I appreciate today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this amazing chapter. Lord, as we look at these two chapters, Lord, in Genesis, I'm just amazed. You are so graceful, so merciful, Lord, that you show us. You show us through your word exactly how you populated the earth, how you created every language, how you created every civilization, how you created every nation and people group. And Lord, you don't just blindly ask us to see that, but you show us and you line it all out, and we can do the math and we can do the figures, and it works. And we can see 4,000 years ago, still today, we see that around us on our globe, in our people groups. So Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you that I do believe in you in faith, but I just love that I can look and read your word and just know it's true, and know that every single word is true, and that we are one race. We are yours, and we are created all, Lord, just by you. So Lord, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, would follow the example to go out throughout the earth, Lord, to populate the earth, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, especially as it is this week. So Lord, I just thank you for your word, and please bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.